Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. We enjoy your company, and we appreciate all the wonderful things you do for the community. Hey, this program is sponsored in part by the American Federation of Government Employees and the United Mine Workers, and we appreciate their support very much. Folks, I got to tell you, I'm excited about today's program. Today, we have Maggie Bush. She is with the League of Women Voters. She is the program and outreach director for the League of Women Voters for the entire United States. Maggie, welcome to the Union Edge.
Thank you for having me.
I am so excited to have you here. I can't even see straight. First off, you're a political advocate, strategic communicator. You've been managing the voter registration program for how long?
I've been managing the League's national voter registration programs for several years. I've been involved with the League for a decade. I grew up with the League of Women Voters and am just so thrilled to be part of an organization that's helping millions of Americans take advantage of their right to vote every single year.
Absolutely. And, you know, I gotta tell you this. You know, I am a veteran. I am a union guy. I'm an activist. I am of the opinion, I don't care which damn fool you vote for, but you have a God-given right to vote, and I'm going to make sure that nobody interferes with it. That may be a little dramatic, but you get the idea of what I'm trying to say. The League of Women Voters, I have to say, is just an awesome organization. You guys are doing stellar work all across the country, and I really appreciate it, and I know a lot of other people do. Thank you for what you guys do.
Thank you for saying that. Again, we're thrilled to have the opportunity to work directly with so many Americans right in their communities. We have volunteers in over 700 communities across the country out there helping people understand how elections work and make sure they're registered, most importantly, which is what we're here to talk about today, and ready to participate in elections, whether it's a presidential election or one of the hundreds of local elections happening this year.
Absolutely. So everybody out there listening, grab a pen and pencil or a piece of paper because there's going to be a lot of good information. You're going to want to get it. You're going to want to write it down. There will be a test at the end and Maggie's proctoring it. No, not really, but a lot of good information coming up. So September 26th, talk to us about that.
September 26th is a big holiday that I hope at least some folks listening have heard of. It's National Voter Registration Day. This is a holiday that was officially started in 2012 because several of us kind of big voting organizations came together and had a real big problem ahead of us. And that's that millions of people miss the opportunity to vote every year simply because they're not registered. In most states, you still have to be registered to vote before you can go head to the polls and cast a vote. In some states, the deadline to register to vote is weeks before Election Day, so before most people are even thinking about the fact that an election is coming. Millions more miss the opportunity because maybe their registration isn't up to date because they've moved to a new state or even moved to a new apartment across the street and didn't realize or didn't have the opportunity to update their registration, or they've become newly eligible to vote and missed that opportunity. So we all came together and started this holiday, which is a celebration of voter registration, a big nationwide effort to raise awareness about the fact that that you have to be registered in most states before you can vote, and to help equip people to do just that. So what started out as a relatively small effort has grown exponentially year after year. This year, next Tuesday, more than 3,000 organizations will be coming together in a whole bunch of ways to spread the word about voter registration and help people get registered.
Okay, folks, I want you to imagine this. Hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of League of Women Voter activists walking up to you and asking you, are you registered to vote? Well, I don't know if it's going to be that many, but you guys have events planned in all over the place and, you know, quite frankly, some unique places. Talk to us about where you're going to be doing this.
Sure. So we have more than 300 of our volunteer teams will be out locally. So there's probably a League of Women Voters in your community who will be out registering voters on Tuesday. And again, there's 3,000 other partners as well who will be doing that. We're going to be at all kinds of places. We will be at transit stops, catching people on the subway on their way to work. We'll be in schools. Here in my community in Arlington, Virginia, where I live, our local league is going to be in all the high schools getting all the newly eligible 18-year-olds registered to vote because we have a huge election in Virginia. We're one of the states that actually has quite a big election this year.
Right.
In California, our leagues will be at BART stations, on college campuses, community college campuses, anywhere where there are lots of people who need to be registered to vote and maybe have never been asked before, or again, have moved or become eligible for the first time and haven't had the chance. In D.C. and in many other places, we will be at citizenship ceremonies. This is a big thing that the League of Women Voters does. And we'll be doing on Tuesday and all throughout the year. We go to new citizenship ceremonies and help new Americans get registered to vote moments after they take the oath of citizenship, which is among the most exciting and rewarding kinds of work that we do. In Florida, our league volunteers will be out in force on college campuses, at libraries, at schools, not only getting out the word about registration, but letting people know about local elections going on there that have been impacted by the recent hurricane. So making sure that people know if an election in their town has been moved or if there are options they can use to make sure they're able to cast a vote, even as they're potentially displaced, still without power, still affected by that storm. So that's just a smattering of the kinds of stuff we'll be doing on Tuesday.
Man, you're going to be everywhere. Right now we're talking with Maggie Bush. She is the Program and Outreach Director for the League of Women Voters for the entire United States. That's an enviable job, but also a very difficult job, I'm sure. Maggie, you know, it's funny because I've got an 18-year-old. He just turned 18. And we're going through the process of making sure that he's got his absentee ballot, you know, and he's registering to vote, and he can get an absentee ballot because he's off in college, and he wants to vote at home as opposed to, you know. So these are the kinds of things you need to be aware of. Women, if you change your name for marriage, you got to think about that. You got to think about if you are a naturalized U.S. citizen. As soon as you get your naturalization certificate, you should get the voter registration card. These are important things. And I'm going to one more commercial about when it comes to immigration. If you are eligible, and this is Charles speaking, if you are eligible to naturalize, if you are eligible to naturalize and you intend to do it, I suggest doing it early just to make sure that you can get it done before it's time to vote. You know, I'm lucky. I got my citizenship through place of birth and by my parents. But a lot of people in this country have to work for it, and it is a job. So take advantage of the ability to vote after you naturalize.
That's right. And a little bit of your comment or your question has gotten cut off. I think we're having a bit of a tech issue, but I think what you're saying is that it's absolutely critical to get registered the first time you have that chance, or as soon as you move or have that birthday, to become eligible or become a new citizen. Even if you don't have an election in your area this year, and there are hundreds of places that have big elections going on this year, but even if not, next year we all have some really important decisions to make about who we want to elect to represent us in the halls of government, and who are going to make decisions about pretty much every aspect of our lives. And so we all are the very best messenger about voting to the people in our lives. Somebody you know is not registered to vote or needs to update their registration so that they can vote this year or next year. And we are all the most powerful tool there is as individuals to make sure the people in our lives can participate and make sure our country is on the right track.
Absolutely. Maggie, listen, we're going to take a short break. We'll come back. We'll talk some more about this. You guys have a website. We'll talk about that and how people can help, okay?
Great. Thank you.
Fantastic. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio.
Hey all, I'm Blake Shelton. I love that country music connects people all over this great nation, but unfortunately so does something else, childhood hunger. 15 million children struggle with hunger in America. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks works to rescue our surplus food to help provide billions of meals to families in need across the country. Join the fight against hunger at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hey everyone, let's all stop what we're doing and take a moment. You see? Every moment can be kind of special. But they can be loud moments, goofy moments, dorky moments, it doesn't matter. Because every time dads like us take a moment like that to spend with our kids, well, it's pretty momentous. So let's take a moment to make a moment. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
We are the BCTGM, the union representing bakery workers. We have been joining forces with our members and thousands of community partners across America to end corporate exploitation of workers across the globe. Our campaign has its roots with the Mondelez Nabisco's firing of 600 workers at its Chicago bakery and replacing them with workers earning poverty wages in Mexico. College and university student activists have reached out to our global campaign, and the BCTGM is proud to welcome the more than 20 million students across America as partners in defeating this greed-based business model. Student voices have changed the world, and these future community and national leaders will add energy and heightened spirit to the BCTGM's consumer boycott of Mexican-made Nabisco products. Join the fight. Help change the world. Invite the Nabisco 600 team to your campus by visiting fightforamericanjobs.org. Follow us on Facebook at Nabisco 600 BCTGM Local 300.
The average time a resume spends on an HR manager's desk is 7 seconds, and most of them are tossed aside. Now imagine if one of those resumes belonged to Yasmin, who was
living in a shelter, juggling 3 jobs. I had to be resilient. That's something that you can't teach.
We rely so much on a resume, yet it could never tell the full story of someone who
had to be independent and take initiative. And that's how I handle every project I get.
Discover new ways to develop great talent at gradsoflife.org. Brought to you by Grads of Life and the Ad Council.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Labor Stock Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We enjoy your company. We appreciate all the great stuff you're doing for the community, that's for sure. Hey, this program is sponsored in part by the Communication Workers of America, District 2-13, and the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, and we appreciate their support. Joining me by phone, we've got Maggie Bush. She is a program and outreach director for the League of Women Voters for the entire United States. Maggie, welcome back.
Thank you.
It's my pleasure. Thank you very much for being with us today. We appreciate it. Maggie, you know, we were talking about National Voter Registration Day. Is that a legal holiday yet?
It's. I don't think of an official legal holiday, but it has been endorsed by, just about everybody. Everyone from Glenn Beck to Barack Obama, the National Association of Secretaries of State, which are the folks who run elections, the bipartisan officials who run elections in all 50 states, tons and tons of organizations, Facebook, Twitter, Spotify. Many of the folks who are your biggest supporters and listeners in the labor movement are behind this day. So I would call it official.
I bet dog catchers everywhere, too. And this is right. A wonderful thing. And we should work on making this a holiday. You know, that's one of my complaints about here in the United States. We've got people that are working to make voter registration and the actual application of that right very difficult to accomplish for some people. And I find that shameful, and I go out of my way to talk about it, so hopefully they won't continue to try and do that. But that's another story.
That's absolutely right. We fundamentally believe that elections should be easier and more accessible for everyone to participate. That's why things like being able to register to vote online is finally the reality in about 30 states. It should be all 50. There's no reason why we shouldn't be able to do that in this day and age. There's no reason why we shouldn't have things like early voting on the weekends and on the evenings so that people of all walks of life, no matter your circumstance, can vote and can take advantage. And so many states have gone in the right direction on that. As we know, though, too many states have made it much more difficult for people to vote and to register to vote, and even tried to make it difficult for organizations like the League of Women Voters to do what we've been doing for almost 100 years, which is go out and engage voters and get them registered. So we're fighting that battle in the courts, in state capitals all over the country, and at the local level every time we see it. But we certainly need support from partners and interested people to do that. So we encourage you to get involved in our work if you're seeing something that's not right with elections in your area.
You know, one of the things I like that our friends down under do is voting is mandatory. You got to show up and vote, or you got to vote however you cast your vote. And if you don't vote, they send you a ticket. We probably can't do that here in the United States, and I believe that we should have at least one category there to protect those people who don't want to vote for a particular individual. You can vote present. But long story short, I like what they do. Are we finding that across the United States, when you have mail-in ballots or you have it easier to get out there and register and go vote, that there's greater participation?
One of the things that, so there's, the jury's out on a lot of these things. Many states have tried lots of different things with you know, good reforms to make voting easier. The places where we do see certainly a bump are with things like same-day voter registration. So many states have done away with this window of time that exists between a registration deadline and election day and have made it possible so that you can walk in to your polling place right on election day. And even if you've never registered before or didn't update your voter registration ahead of time, you can go ahead and vote. That's the kind of reform that has really erased a barrier. And you've seen the research has shown some bump in actual, you know, turnout going up in those places. So places like the District of Columbia has that and many states. Those are the kinds of things that really have shown a positive effect.
Fantastic. And I support any program that does that. Maggie, tell us about vote411.org.
Sure. Vote411.org is a website that the League of Women Voters has run for a decade. We have supported tens of millions of American voters through that website. We supported over 4 million voters just last year in 2016. We have information for every voter in America about how elections work in your area, when your voter registration needs to be in, where to go to vote, which can change from year to year, and most importantly, who's on the ballot and what they stand for. So this year, with local elections happening in a lot of places, we'll have localized candidate information for more than 100 communities. So people can go, you enter your information, where you live, and you pull up who's going to be on your ballot. And we have that kind of detail in more than 100 places for this year. And that's really critical information, especially in a year like this, where not as much attention has been paid to elections that are going on. People are less likely to know who's on the ballot. And there's some evidence that says, especially for young and first-time voters, not knowing who's on the ballot or what they stand for can actually keep people home from voting. And that's the last thing we want to see. We want people to have good information so that they feel confident, they know who's on the ballot, and they feel ready to go to the polls. We don't want anyone to stay home simply because they didn't know who was going to be there to vote for when they got there. So that's really why our website exists. We have hundreds of our local volunteer teams helping supply the information that goes into that project, and we are just so proud of it and so proud of the impact that it's had for so many Americans.
You talk about volunteers all across the United States. What are some of the things that people can do? Obviously, we know the League of Women Voters, they work the polls, they do training, they help register people to vote. I know that there have been some communities that have tried to make that more difficult. But what are some of the things that people can do to help prepare people for voting and with the voting process?
Sure. So we, of course, we're almost an entirely volunteer-run organization. And so we want you, if you want to help If you want to get involved in going out and doing voter registration, we can hand you a clipboard and get you involved in that. You can go to our website, lwv.org, to find your local league team. And most likely, they're going to be out registering voters on Tuesday and throughout the year. They're hosting events to get people informed about what's going on in their community with voting and government. They're taking action at the local, state, and, of course, national level on the issues that really matter to us. So there's certainly a role to play. But even if you don't have time to come out in person and help us register voters as part of our organization or another group you're part of, you have a critical role to play. So we know that, again, that being that personal ambassador of voting to the people in your life really, really matters. So you can make the difference. Someone you know is not registered to vote or doesn't know that they have an election in their state this year, and you can help equip them with that. So simply by putting out a message on your Facebook page, shooting an email to your friends and relatives saying, hey, there might be elections this year in your state, or there's definitely an election next year in your state, and it really matters that you weigh in, and I want to help you do that if you need help getting information. That is just so critically important, and every single one of us can do our part there.
Let me talk to you about perhaps some of the more somber things about Election Day. Sometimes we see things that give us pause near a polling place. Sometimes we see things that concern us. What should we do when we see those things?
Sure. So anytime a voter sees something at a polling place, and that could be maybe there's some confusion about, you know, if a person is at the right place. Maybe we think that maybe a voter is being given inaccurate information. Maybe there's a language barrier going on. An elections official is always the place to start. So our elections officials in this country and the people who work the polls on Election Day work incredibly hard. And 95% of our volunteer teams report having a positive relationship with their local elections official. Those are the hardest working partners that we have out there who really, really, truly do want to make sure that voters have a good experience. So you can always ask a question of that person, write that in there in the polling place, or call your local elections official. But you're right. Sometimes there are problems or perhaps more sinister things going on at polling places or more likely kind of ahead of Election Day where efforts may have been made to limit folks' right to vote. Every single year, there's an election protection hotline that gets that we advertise heavily to voters so that anybody having a challenge can call the hotline, be hooked up to an advocate. We send some of our own national staff to staff that hotline. That hotline is staffed by some of the best lawyers in the country who know how election rules work in every state and have lawyers even on the ground to be deployed. So there's certainly that apparatus in place to help voters and your local League of Women Voters as well is a great place to start. If you see something that doesn't seem quite right or have a question about how elections are supposed to be running in your state.
Maggie, like any other organization, the League of Women Voters, they need help to run to accomplish their mission. What can people do to help the League of Women Voters, and what kinds of things does the league need?
Sure. Well, again, we are always looking for volunteers. We can put you to work tomorrow if you contact your League of Women Voters in your area. They're out there doing all kinds of important work and always want more partners and more volunteers. You can also use the power of your wallet to support the causes you believe in. Certainly, the League of Women Voters would be happy to take your support to continue engaging the millions of Americans that we do year in and year out. And even if it's not the League, there are other organizations, of course, in your area who are doing this important work and would make wonderful use of your donation. But we hope you'll think of us first.
Let me ask you one final important question. Can I still bring cookies to the nice ladies of the League of Women Voters at my polling station on Election Day?
Can you still bring cookies to the poll workers?
Yes.
I'm going to go ahead and say probably yes. Everyone loves a good cookie.
All right. Maggie, thank you very much for being with us today. We appreciate it. And we look forward to getting you back again. And let us know how we can help you. Okay?
Thank you, Charles, and thanks, everyone. Ask somebody in your life to register to vote today.
There you go. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. Maggie Bush of the League of Women Voters. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio.